Welcome to fourthstream.com. Today we're talking about how our homes can experience peace, and we're offering ideas on how to find relief on some of the common issues that rob us of a more enjoyable home and marriage atmosphere.
And just a little bit of a disclaimer here. Bernadette has been low on carbs.
So I'm shaky.
She's a little shaky, but we'll soldier on. Yeah, you know, the whole idea of and I call this post family at peace, because, you know, family is such a fluid thing. It's always changing. Things are growing. You have all the different mm-hmm. challenges. But when it comes right down to it, and where we're at in our parenting process, now our kids are doing that, you know, with their kids, and the uproar has kind of moved on a little bit, although we get to be a part of it. But, you know, the peacefulness that happens when a family is in harmony with God's principles is really a wonderful thing. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. What brings that harmony? What brings that peace into a home?
And I think one of the things, major things, is understanding what's needed. But one of the things you were really good at was being intentional. So if this is what we're supposed to do, let's not just have it be theory. How are we going to make this a reality?
We're talking today, too, with the backdrop of, we've got a notebook and a course, actually, at mystronghome.com. And it's all about home is where our story begins. And it's kind of our story based on principles. It's not like us telling our stories, but the mm-hmm. principles that we found from the scriptures that have been, just revolutionary as far as us finding a peaceful home. So you can check that out in the post, and that will connect you and get you there for for a free course, and then you can check it out and see if you're interested.
So one of the first scriptures we kind of want to talk about is Ephesians 5, 25 through 33. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they are already one in marriage. And I think, wow, if a wife was treated like this, how could a marriage go wrong?
Well,
except that there are two people.
You've experienced it, right? I mean, haven't you experienced a total life like that? Well, you know, what you're describing there is a motivated husband and a motivated father, somebody who's motivated to step into his role in the family, and that has a lot of dimensions to it, but not the least of which is to really be watching out for your family and protecting them.
And how this makes me feel as a wife listening to this is that this is how I felt like you felt about me when we first got married, when the romance was still really high,
yeah.
The infatuation. It was really high.
Like it's not now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But what happens, I think, in marriage is that then the true me starts to show itself. And this verse makes it feel like a husband makes himself reminds himself of what he first found beautiful in her and keeps finding that and then goes deeper and finds more beauty.
Well,
because I know I am not always lovely. And you're commanded to love me, and I really want you to love me through my unlovable times.
I think putting it the way you did about rediscovering, that's really true. Because of this changing dynamic in a family, changing dynamic of us as people, rediscovering that is incredibly important in order for you to feel mm-hmm. like I cherish you. And then I really, apart from God, you're in first place.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that, right?
I do know that, but I also know that you love me when I'm unlovable, and I know that's not easy.
Yeah, it happened once in like 1985.
Yeah, every day. Okay, so the second passage is 1 Peter 3. The same goes for you wives. So, you know, you have to look at that and go, what's in the chapter prior? Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, meaning nagging, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. What matters is not your outer appearance, what your hair looks like, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. And I read that to mean my respect for your manhood.
You know, even as you're reading this, I'm just thinking, we live in such a screwed up world when it comes to just the values. And going back to the scriptures is so important if we're going to even begin to recover what a marriage and what a family is supposed to look like. And what you were just describing there is the idea of being in your man's corner, mm-hmm. your man's corner, because I'm your man. And that's what the Bible calls respect. And then also you being cherished and you being in the place where you need to be in how life unfolds.
And I think the hard thing that I had to learn was, like, I want to be loved through my unlovable periods, that your need was to be respected no matter what. And I had to learn how to respect your manhood and respect who you were and who God had wanted you to be, in spite of the times that I thought you were making blundering mistakes.
Blithering. Let's just call it what it is, blithering
Lots
mistakes.
Lots of blunders. But, you know, I could think I knew what was right. And honestly, especially early in our marriage, being a Christian longer than you, there were things that made sense to me sooner than they made sense
Absolutely.
To you. And I had to sort of live with you growing through those things. And I could have just kind of thrown that all out, but realizing I had to love you deeper than that.
Well, let's talk about the kids. Are you ready to move on
no,
to them?
No, I want to finish this.
Okay,
can
go
I?
Ahead.
So cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. The holy women of old were beautiful before God that way and were good, loyal wives to their husbands. Now, this part kind of makes me laugh. Sarah, for instance, taking care of Abraham, would address him as my dear husband. You'll be true daughters of Sarah if you do the same. But here's the part that struck me: unanxious and unintimidated.
Mm-hmm.
So that just tells
Without
me,
fear.
I can't imagine saying that to you and you not thinking I've gone stark raving crazy if I say, my dear husband, here's your cup of coffee.
Yes.
But the point is that we have to trust God whether we're single or happily married or feel like you're making blunders. I have to treat you with respect.
Yeah. And everything that these passages are talking about, it's not the words that are used. It's not like there's a formula for words. It's the heart that's behind it mm-hmm. that makes a marriage and consequently a family be what God wants it to be.
But we can't leave husbands out. The same goes for you, husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages, but in the new grace of God's grace, in the new life of God's grace, you're equal. So treat your wives then as equals so your prayers don't run aground. See, it's really imperative that we are obedient. It's a cycle. If I'm blessed and I respect you, your prayers are heard.
Well, and however you look at the roles of men and women, you know, I look at you as my wife, as my partner in life, but I also look at you as my sister in mm-hmm. God. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to be married. I mean, it's a weird thought, but we're not going to be married. We're going to be married to Christ. And what will that reality look like? And we just get to taste a little bit of that right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a mix-up sometimes about being submissive makes us intimidated. And you know how he uses that a couple verses ago, being unanxious and unintimidated. You can be less intimidated if you don't just look at your husband as your covering or your authority, but he's also, you're my brother. So there are sometimes things need to be spoken directly to you.
Well, you know, and strength, it's really cool when a lot of the principles that we're talking about here in these passages, when you find those in a marriage, then you're both strong. You're strong in the way that God made you to be, and you get away from all this monkey business in our culture about who's going to come out on top or whatever. It's about how are we going to succeed together.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
So summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, and be humble. That goes for all of you. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Gulp. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing.
So what we've just described is the essence of what the scriptures are talking about when it comes to the marriage part, the husband and wife part. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but I really want to read this passage in Proverbs 4 because there is the child part of it, the offspring part of it, where when you provide the atmosphere that we just described, that God describes very clearly in the scriptures, well, then that allows our children then to understand not only who we are, mm-hmm. but to understand who God is as well.
So Proverbs 4, starting at verse 20, "Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate, learn it by heart. those who discover these words live. They really live, body and soul. They're just bursting with health. And here's this: keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust.
That's so cool. And I was really hoping, because it was the Message translation, that it would say something about screen time in there, but apparently it hasn't been updated.
One of the
yet.
Things that I was struck with was not talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yes.
Or white lies. And this is just a short story, but someone said to me one time, this was a quote, "I never denied that I said that." And I thought, I guess he didn't. And then the next day I went, wait a minute. That was just his way of neutralizing the conversation, because we never talked about it at all. So no, he didn't admit it and he didn't deny it.
This wasn't me, right?
And my point is, you know, being sort of talking like that and skimming away from people and not being honest, that's kind of what it's talking about. We get slick, and that's not how God wants us to live. And that's the kind of stuff we learn when we're young.
Family at Peace, that's what we're talking about today. Take a few minutes and preview the resources at our mystronghome.com, you know, website there. There's a free introductory course that'll help you to determine if this is a resource that would be helpful to your family in charting or fine-tuning your course. Thanks for joining us today. Be at peace, my friend.